Hi, I'm Chris Spezak, and this is the Words You Should Know podcast. A few stolen minutes out of your day to talk words and communication, because Ben Franklin and Kurt Cobain both influenced our modern English language, and spelling memes deserve to be debunked. Words, language, and human communication, everything begins there. This is Season 2, Episode 10, the final episode of the season. How did that happen? I am loving the feedback I'm getting from you. I appreciate how many of you have already subscribed to my podcast. And without further ado, here's today's writing tip for the curious or confused. So, a number of you think grammar is gross. You're allergic to the idea of sentence diagramming. Actually paying attention to the English language sounds kind of icky. Okay, sure, that's not my opinion, but you knew that. And if it's yours, that's okay, I get it. But you know what is icky to me? Lots of the creatures that seem to be coming out this time of year. And the problem is that the words that we use about them often cause as much confusion as anything else. So where do we start? Okay, got it. How about we start with the good news? Contrary to what you might have heard, there is no such thing as a poisonous snake. But here's the bad news. This doesn't make your next romp through leaf piles in the woods any safer. Remember, poisonous means something that causes illness or death if eaten, touched, or inhaled. Venomous means something that injects venom into another creature, most commonly through a bite or a sting. The key difference here is that idea of injection. Snakes aren't poisonous to the touch. If eaten, yikes, or if inhaled, yeah, and I have no idea why you might be sniffing snakes. It's their venom that's dangerous. Hence, snakes can be venomous, not poisonous. Admittedly, only 10% of snakes are venomous, so maybe we shouldn't all be nervous around the slithering fork-tongued creatures. But if you ask me, I'll still be steering clear of any that come across my path, whether or not they're poisonous, whether or not they're venomous, whether or not they're offering apples, whether or not their bites are actually exacting or extracting revenge. Too far? If we're talking about icky, I'm thinking snakes, and I'm not sure you can convince me otherwise. And snakes aren't the only warm weather creatures we need to be aware of, and yes, I'm still talking about words. Unfortunately, you'll need your first aid advice elsewhere. When an exterminator comes around, you might have a nervous tick, T-I-C-K. But if you're referring to a sudden muscle spasm, you need the word tick, T-I-C. There are a few definitions to be aware of with these homonyms, actually. Everything isn't tick, T-I-C-K. Specifically, a tick, T-I-C-K, as a noun, can be that blood-sucking arachnid. Yes, ticks are related to spiders. Who knew? A tick, T-I-C-K, can be a reoccurring beat or a click, as in a clock. It can be a small dot or check, perhaps marking something off a list. Or perhaps a movement in the price of a stock on the stock exchange. On the other hand, a tick, T-I-C, can be a sudden muscle contraction, as we talked about, or a personal quirk. I know this seems complicated. Clocks tick-tock. You can play tic-tac-toe. Where Ricky Ticky Tavi falls in the midst of this, I don't know. But one little letter can make all the difference. Make sure you know what you're doing. And I want to return to that conversation about nervous ticks, T-I-C-K-S, and nervous ticks, T-I-C-S, as we talk about the proper spelling of repellent. How do you spell the word repellent? Let me give you two quick options. R-E-P-E-L-L-A-N-T or R-E-P-E-L-L-E-N-T. One might have a nervous tick in their eye when there are too many insects about, but a tick, as in the arachnid, might be nervous if the repellents come out. Yes, repellents with an E, R-E-P-E-L-L-E-N-T-S. But before you walk confidently away from this repellent with an A versus repellent with an E conundrum, let's pause for a moment, because the other spelling isn't incorrect. What we have here is a case of preferred spelling versus accepted spelling, Both repellent with an A and repellent with an E are indeed words. Both have been used for over 300 years. When I dug a bit deeper, no, not into the dirt, but into the Google Books Ingram tool, one of my favorites, it was confirmed that repellent with an E is and almost always has been the more common spelling, with the exception of a strange outlier moment in history between 1722 and 1727, where repellent with an A jumped ahead. What happened in those 5 years that almost but not quite changed the fate of this spelling, I have no clue. Both spellings of repellent trace back to a Latin word meaning to drive back. You can use insect repellent or have repellent behavior. I suggest being cautious with both, but at least you can feel confident in your spelling. Getting your words right isn't something that should make you shudder. Venomous snakes, ticks, mosquitoes that require repellent, sure. But words, no. The whole idea of grammar police is a bit laughable. There are no red pens ready to circle your spoken words. Persnickety editors have their roles, I know, I am one. But as you work to better yourself, maybe what you eat, maybe how you exercise, why not also work to better your usage of the English language? If you ask me, words can change the world. A powerful story can stick into the wrinkles of your brain, lodging itself there and sinking in, giving you something to return to again and again. This is why people have told stories around campfires long before there were roasted marshmallows and s'mores involved. Even before there were cave paintings, there were stories, there were words. This is how we connect. Let's keep at it. And let's do it well. Who's with me? Just not the bugs, please. I'll be back for season 3 in a few months, folks. Until then, watch out for those bugs and snakes and creepy crawlies. Ew. And good luck with everything else. If you've enjoyed this episode, I invite you to subscribe to the Words You Should Know podcast wherever you listen. Or if you'd rather have my podcasts and communications trivia and reminders arrive in your inbox directly, subscribe to my monthly newsletter at chrisspiezak.com. Just kidding, I know you can't spell my name. chrisspiezak.com works, of course, but for your spelling convenience, you can also find me at getagriponyourgrammar.com. Redirects are awesome, folks. This podcast was inspired by my longtime weekly writing tips blog in its 7th year now, and my book, Get a Grip on Your Grammar, 250 Writing and Editing Reminders for the Curious or Confused, available where books are sold. Until next time, words, language, communication. You've got this.